can you use perfume if you don't have anything else?
You're talking about spices.
No, you don't have spices. Can you take a bottle of woman's perfume and make perfume on that?
For spices, you're talking about. Why not? Samim, the thing is, you generally, Dominicans have two different, because we say Borei Minei B'Samim. So you would have to take perfume and the coffee, perfume and cinnamon, something you have.
The Mishnah Berurah says he used musk.
What is musk?
Musk. It's from an extract from an animal with a very nice smell.
Very nice. Well, I think they use that in perfume too. I know there's a man...
Too expensive. I think it's synthetic.
But why should there be anything with perfume? It comes from trees. It comes from... I don't know. Does anyone discuss it?
There's bracha. Atzei b'samim, isvei b'samim, minei b'samim. I think Mishnah
Berurah... Minei b'samim is the general bracha.
And that's why Mishnah Berurah, I believe, he says use musk. Don't use any plants, because then if you use a plant, you have to know which one bracha...
Which bracha, where it comes from. It's perhaps something interesting. All right, it has to be... see if anyone discusses it, but offhand, Adarabha. Okay, we're recording. Today is January 19th. 2020, Sunday morning, miserable weather, rain, snow on the way, Lehuda Maitao Ravisimcha, Putin on the way, and we have to thank God the Shurim is Sunday, Monday, so we don't have to call them off. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, I won't be able to get out of my block, so out of my house, but that's a different story. But it's a covered Feretz Yisrael that 42, I don't recall another time when 42 heads of state were here all together. It shows you where the state of Israel is at. Kanayin Hara v'kein Hala, and every last Jew from Hillcrest and the greater area has to know part of the family has to come in Aliyah. The more Jews here, the better. The more from Jews here, the better. The more Jews with Seichel here, the better. And we welcome back Eli from his visits. Reb Yeruchim Gerelich would have had heart failure had you told him where you went and what you did. But Aaron Rakefet is a Talmud of the Rav, and we're a lot more open-minded. In my house, there's a bottle of water from the Baal Shem's, you know what. Now, which leads us back to last week. We're going to finish up the topic today. But you're going to make comments today that go way beyond the narrow question. But just coming back, the whole question of what you can use for Havdalah, if we would follow the Gemara and follow the simple Pshat and the Rambam and the Aruch HaShulchan, all of us sitting in this room should only be using wine. Wine is ready available, wine is cheap, this is not Eastern Europe. The hills of Israel are filled with vineyards, and we should be using wine Friday night, Saturday morning, Motzai Shabbos. But what can we do? The flesh is weak, and Am Yisrael, certainly Shabbos morning, prefers schnapps, prefers brandy. Wine has low order with the Rov Ha'am. Motzai Shabbos, we're even more mekil because it's Havdalah, and here we're talking about tea, milk, and we last week we got involved with the question of soda and water. And there's no doubt that most of the poskim say you cannot be Yotzei Havdalah on soda and water. Rabbi Moshe Feinstein gives a very interesting understanding of Chama Medina, that he doesn't deal with the alcoholic content, but it's something you would drink just to make someone else feel good. If Yonatan, Rabbi Hertz, walks into Gruss, we should have a reception here, room for rabbis, and he may be, he drank, he had coffee this morning, but if they put a bottle of schnapps in front of him, he'll have a little bit schnapps, even though he is satiated with water. And Reb Moshe says that you're not going to drink soda, you're not going to drink water unless you're thirsty. So it's not Chama Medina. But schnapps, where someone's mechabed you, and it could be tea, also fits in very nicely, particularly if Ariane has been to London and the Queen invited her to tea at 4, which is a whole ceremony. I mean, I've seen wealthy Jews in London, I've been there, and they want to be mechabed me in 4 o'clock, and they bring out little cakes and tea and coffee, and Ribbono Shel Olam, they're up in heaven. So that's Rav Moshe's definition. We ended off the class last week, and I see it made a hit all over the world. People are asking to see the advertisement. There's something new on the market today, water from Lubavitch. And I raised the question, I want to have one of my Talmidim listening in Chabad ask a shayla of a Chabad posek. I want to hear what a Chabad posek will have to say about water from Chabad making challah. I hate to see it. I hate to say it, Isaac, but I have a feeling they will be matir, and I have a yetzahar in me. If I be a Chabadnik, there's nothing greater. Could you imagine havdalah and water from Lubavitch? How interesting. Let it hang fire. Now, let me go further. This question of Shabbos morning in Kiddush, it troubles Reb Menashe Klein. He has another two tshuvot on it, which I'm going to cite. And you see, what troubles us here is very simply, are we from Jews or are we innovators? Here the Rambam is so makpid on wine, and you see the Lashon HaRambam, and it would appear from the Gemara wine, and suddenly we come along, and you'll do a survey in Yerushalayim, how many people made Kiddush Shabbos morning on wine, and how many people made Kiddush on every type of different liquor. And you'll find the majority make it on liquor, particularly when you have the Belz Chassidim, you have your Hasidic world, the Litvakin are going to be voted out of existence. All right, I'm an exception because I come home Shabbos morning at 8 o'clock. I was home already 10 to 8 this morning. We have a terrific Bal Korek from Chevron Yeshiva. He reads the first pasuk for every Aliyah. The first pasuk he reads slowly, and after that he runs. So no matter how big the sedrus is, Baruch Hashem, we finish on time. The second minyan begins 8:10. We're all out of there by 8 o'clock. So I come home and I make Kiddush on wine. But later at my children, I made Kiddush on cherry herring. You understand that was the Mopsi, my wife. All right. Now, the problem is not just the using wine or using whiskey or using brandy. Where were you Shabbos? You were at Uman? You were in Uman Shabbos? My family comes and my wife's family. My wife would be up in heaven. Okay, so now, what did you make Kiddush on Shabbos morning there in Mezrich? Oh, you had grape juice. What grape juice? Israeli or American? Where did they get it from?
I think Israeli.
It's not made in Russia.
European.
Although Russia may be making wine today. I'm pretty sure already they must have kosher locally produced wine and grape juice, etc. Ah, so grape juice, all right, falls into the category of wine.
I mean, the guy next to me made Kiddush on a cup of vodka. Definitely was the
shear. Okay, no, so then you get, that's the next problem. With the shear. What do you mean a shear? The cup held the shear. But how much did he drink? All right, if you drank like that, you'd be dancing on the ceiling. So it comes back to the question of how much. And here, I want to quote, this is the last volume of the Mishnah Halacha. It was published posthumously. Chelek Yud Chet, Siman Kuf Ayin Vav. I'll be quoting from that, and then there's an addendum to it as well, but it's all Siman Kufayin Vav. And he's writing Eliezer Pinchas Sofer, the Tshuvas from 1976, and Kavod Shem Tifatam Lecha Rabbi Eliezer Pinchas Sofer. You can see from the name Sofer that it has to be an anical of the Chatam Sofer. Generally speaking, anyone named Sofer, a Schreiber, is an anical of the Chatam Sofer. I personally have yet to meet anyone with that name who's not a descendant of the Chatam Sofer. And it's an amazing thing, because every morning I daven with direct descendants, and I go to my son-in-law's shul, direct descendants, my own family today, grandchildren, direct great-grandchildren, direct descendants. And it's an amazing thing. Rabbi Akivega, the Chatam Sofer was his son-in-law, the Zivik Sheni for the Chatam Sofer. And basically 99% of Rabbi Kivega's descendants are either not Jewish or not from. And the Chatam Sofer was Zaycha, I don't want to say 99%, but 90% of his descendants remain from. It's an amazing thing, an amazing thing. And Rabbi Kivega, Dafka, his son, sat Shiva for the grandson, Reb Label, who became a Hasidic Rebbe. You're aware of what I'm saying? And Reb Label, if you meet an Eger who's from, it's a descendant of the Hasidic grandson, Reb Label Eger. I met from Staten Island, there was a whole family that Balei Tshuva, Eger, and from 100% today, thank God, and descendant from the grandson. That's an amazing thing. But I'll just add one thought which you can play with. What Hasidus has over the Litvisha world is emotion. And emotion is very important. If you're a grown-up adult and you go to a psychologist, and unfortunately today psychologists are all over the place, including Israel. When I came in Aliyah, there were no psychologists there. It was a poor country. Who could afford a head shrinker? Today, they're all over the place. And sometimes they help. Sometimes, in my opinion, they harm. Because they stress to the individual, I've seen with my own eyes what happens, you have to be independent, you have to be an individual, you're your own self. All right, that's all beautiful. But if you cut your hand and the blood comes out, that blood is not yours. It comes from this grandparent and that grandparent, etc. You have a certain obligation. It's like what's going on with the defrocked. You're not allowed to say Your Excellency or Your Honor anymore to the Queen's grandson and granddaughter-in-law. I just heard that on the news this morning. All right, they're treacherous to the blood in their body. So when you talk about your youth, if you complain I had a horrible youth, then all the psychological problems begin. My mother didn't care about me, my father this, and they were never home and never there. If you have a good feeling about your youth, it's always something you're going to remember. My wife and I always talk about Fordham Road and the theater and the kosher, the one kosher place in that part of the Bronx was a hot dog place on the Grand Concourse opposite Concord. So it's a good feeling. It's a healthy feeling. Chassidus. You talk about the Rebbe and Afabrengen, and that's the story. I told it. I lived it with people who were there when the sixth Rebbe came to America. So they published ads in all the Jewish newspapers to come down and greet the sixth Rebbe. He's getting off the boat. So Devas Halt Lubavitch named. If you hold Lubavitch, these were people who were Machalos Shabbos already. But when the Rebbe arrived, they started up a niggin, and they were overwhelmed. People became Balei Tshuva on the spot. And this is Chassidus, this is the power. And this is why, statistically, they survived better than the Litvakin after World War II. A greater percentage of Chassidim, and there was a whole documentary done on Borough Park about 20 years ago. Well, Why You Graduate did it, the fabulous documentary. A People Apart, I think it's called. Daum, I think, was the name of the person who did it. Why You Grad. And the person who paid for the documentary sponsored it. I believe the last name was Katz. You can correct me if I'm wrong. I have a Talmud who knew the family well. And he said when he came out of the Holocaust, he didn't believe in anything. He was angry at God, which you can't blame him. Everyone slaughtered. Herbie understands what I'm saying, and all of you understand. And then he married, and his wife said to him, we have a choice to raise our kids like Goyim and give Hitler another victory, or to raise them as Jews. And then you see the kids dancing with him, And they're all with long beards and payas. One of the kids was a BTA graduate, but he became a Baruch Hashem, became Chassidish. And they're all dancing, and the grandchildren, who, you know, never could at that age, they didn't understand where they're coming from. And when they look at their father, Shomer Torah Mitzvah, but clean-shaven, a businessman, they say, we see our father like he looked before World War II, with a beard and payas. It's very powerful. So you see, this is the strength of Chassidus. And this brings us into this tshuva. He was asked by the sofa, how do people have... First of all, it's interesting. He says, I don't know who you are. See, this too is part of the Gaiva game. If unfortunately, if you look at the Haredi press in Israel, endless titles, they waste so much print. Harav HaGoyin, HaGadol Harav HaGoyin, HaGadol Harav this, Harav that, HaGon. Some, they give it out, one Moran, one Rosh Hashiba. And of course, a nice wife, a guy like a Talmud of YU without a beard and pay us in black clothes, they probably write Rabbi, not Rav, but they write Rabbi, transliterated the show. He's a nice fuff, a bum, a rabbi, one step ahead of a conservative reform. This is the title game. It's a certain sickness of cover. If Reb Yisrael Salanter were alive, this wouldn't go on, but he's gone already 150 years. Now, so he writes to him, I apologize, I may not have given you the right titles, because Bilti Makiri V'yekabel Kavod Haru'ila. You follow? I don't know you, but consider it as if I gave you the cover that I'm obligated. And he said, you're asking me about whiskey in the morning, and you're absolutely right. And he's quoting all the sources we quoted, that the only heter to use whiskey is when you don't have wine. But nowadays in the United States and in Israel, wine is ready available. How dare you use whiskey, schnapps, brandy, vodka, everything but wine. And inevitably that leads to the problem, how much do you have to drink? The Kiddush cup has to be revered, but you have to drink Melo Lugmav. It's like Yom Kippur, it's the same shear, it's interesting. It's not a din in Rov Revi. It's Seder night, you have to drink Rov Revi. Melo Lugmav is not enough. The last kos, Menik Yisrael, to drink the whole kos. But he asked a very good question, and the Mishnah Halacha says, you're absolutely right, and he quotes the sources. Look into Or HaChaim, Siman Ayin Reish Bet, Sif Katan Tet in the Shulchan Aruch, B'makom Shein Yayin Matsui, Yesh Omrim Shemekadshin Al Sheikha V'Sham Mashkin Chutz Min HaYayin. That there is one opinion, but only when wine is not available and all the Nosei Kalim struggle with this problem. The Magen Avraham adds on that even where you want to make Kiddush on whiskey, it has to be b'medinat sherov shtiyat hamon hu yayin saruf b'chol yom. That it has to be in a situation where people regularly drink whiskey, regularly are mechabed each other. Whiskey is not a afterthought, but it's part and parcel of the, I would say, the mindset on what is considered an important drink. And as far as how much do you drink, so here you can look into the Torah Or HaChaim. Again, I'm quoting from Reish Ayin Aleph. I'm quoting the Beit Yosef as well. And they struggle with the problem. It could be that if you make Kiddush on a cup, a little cup, but the cup is drunk entirely, you drink, your wife drinks, you pour off, you pass it around, as long as you, the people there together drank a Melo Lugmav, you are Yosei Kiddush. And you can see that in the Beis Yosef, that it's not just one individual, but the people sitting around who want to be Yosef, your Kiddush. They're drinking together, adds up together. So, all right. So you see here, Klal Yisrael, remember, I want to stress, this is a Din D'Rabbanan. With a Din D'Oraita, you can't play games. You can't change the halacha. But here, the Mechaber Paskins, if wine is available, make Kiddush on wine. And B'di'evit, there's one opinion, you can use whiskey, Chama Medina, and this became Klal Yisrael. Now, I want to go further, and I want to show you something very fascinating. If this was a tshuva of Reb Moshe, Reb Moshe would end here. He now has another two columns describing Hasidic Rebbeim. And you see, this is the icing on the cake. You see the Hasidic influence on Reb Menashe Klein. Could you imagine Reb Moshe writing a tshuva, and then he starts describing in Dol Yisrael and what they did, comparing, taking testimony, describing them with awe. You see the titles. Doesn't play in the literature world. The literature world, all right, you can tell a story on Reb Chaim, but before you get to the story of Reb Chaim, you have to have the halacha black and white. And it'd be very, very hard to tell a story on Reb Chaim where he's contradicting the psak and the Shulchan Aruch. Yes, you'd have to explain Reb Chaim held like the Rif, he held against the Rambam, he held against the Balei Tosfot, he felt the Rif and the Rambam were right. It would be all lumdus. Here, beginning on page Reish Samech Gimel, he says, and let me put your mind at ease, he says to the person, Levehei yadua lichvod malato, shemin haga olam yisodo baharei kodesh. These words don't exist in the Litvisha world. Ah, Eli, Ephi, you know where he was. He can understand these words. His wife, who was nice enough to let him leave for Shabbos and go to Uman, it's a good thing she didn't ask Rav Ovadia Yosef. Well, boy, would she have gotten a negative answer. But in Uman, in Meshbetz, this is Hararei Kodesh. Forget about the Shulchan Aruch. Forget about the Rush. Forget about all the sources. Forget about the Aruch HaShulchan. Gidolei Hasidut made Kiddush on Schnapps Shabbos morning. Hararei Kodesh, not our generation. You got to remember, Michael Nitmatu HaDorot, each generation goes down a little. And it's only natural. You have to understand there's something else that's psychological. I've always felt this, and I can say it in a Litvish setting. I can't say it in a Chassidish setting. But when I learned with the Rav, I was overwhelmed. When I spoke in learning with Reb Moshe, I was overwhelmed. Isaac, I want to tell you something. Today I can learn a lot better. When I spoke with the Rav in 78 in Boston, we spent hours talking and learning, I was right up there. My daughters heard the Rav say to me, Du biskerech, du biskerech. You know what that means? It's the greatest compliment you can get. You're right, you're right. I remember what we were, I knew a little bit. When you're a kid, you're overwhelmed, so you think the earlier generation, yeah, but when you spend 80 years learning day and night, you know, a little bit, you know, a little bit has to wear off on you. But a Hasidic, so you look back, all right, the Vilna Gaon was a throw. We have throwbacks, the Baron Lichtenstein and our generation. A Hasid can't think like that. The Rebbe, Hararei Kodesh, the earlier generations. And he says, we have evidence that the Rav Shira Rebbe and Reb Chaim Sansiba, that's Reb Chaim Halberstam, Nocha Gula Kadesh Bishach Rit Al Yash, Vekain Tzivu L'Talmidehem L'Kadesh. Could you imagine? We have, and he's going to bring David, you'll see in a minute, we have Eitot Nemanah, that they made Kiddush, and believe me, a Chassidic Rebbe did not lack for wine. The Satmaruv, if he needs $1 million this morning, he tells his Chavet, his Ki Gaboyim at 9 o'clock in the morning, by 12 noon there's $1 million on his table. That's the Satma, and I may be underestimating. If he needs $20 million, by 12 noon there's $20 million. It's unbelievable. So it's not that the ruptures or that the sons of a lot for wine, chas v'chalila, but they held that Shabbos morning, whatever, this is not wine. Kiddush, high, a good shot, vam zichuf, warm yourself. And this is the secret of chassidus. When you meet a chassid, they meet this, it's a literature joke, that they turn to this apikoris litvisha, was felt eich, what do you miss from the old world? He says, a daf gemara, I love it. As irreligious as I am today, it's like Reb Chaim Brisker's Talmud, Professor Gomer, when the Rav came in to visit him in Berlin, he was learning gemara. So he told the Rav, ich kann sich nicht abreißen from the Gemara. I can't pull myself away from the Gemara. You'll ask a chassid, an apikoris, what do you miss from the old world? A bramfin was been trink l'chaim mit the Rebbe. You understand the bramfin, the brandy that he drank l'chaim with the Rebbe. So they said, you have to make Kiddush. This is against the Shulchan Aruch. But he's bringing a proof. He's saying to this Rabbi Sofer, Mr. Sofer, whoever he is, he's saying, don't ask any shyness. Reb Chaim Sansiva made Kiddush on Schnapps. And if any of you come from Ungarish Yichus, the Sansiva Rav, oh my God, just to mention his name, you're shaking. And you're going to say, if he made Kiddush on Schnapps, Alacha Kama Vakama, I can make Kiddush on Schnapps. And this is Hasidic overtones. You won't find this in Reb Moshe. With the Rav was not a posek mufak in the sense, but... yes, maybe Reb Chaim, if Reb Chaim did something, you'd have to learn pshat, you'd have to analyze, you'd have to understand Reb Chaim. But to say, come out against the Shulchan Aruch, and no one in the world will say, if you have wine, you schnapps, but yet nevertheless. Now, watch something else here. The tshuva goes on. And he quotes a sefer from the Shpinka dynasty. You've all heard Shpinka Chassidim. The Yimre Yosef, it was the founder, was the most famous of the Shpinka dynasty. And he said, in the sefer he writes, Asher ra'av be'enav shehagon hakadosh min sanz nohag lekadesh b'shakrit al hayash. Eidut Nemanah. And not just that he made Kiddush on whiskey, but V'lo shata min hakos rak ma'at mizir. Just a drop. Didn't want to get drunk. You follow? Now you have Eidut Nemanah. This takes us back to the whole question. The shir you have to drink. V'lo lukma v'anat. Wine. Grape juice, you can drink all you want. I told you, I made Kiddush. I'm still looking to buy in Osherad when they get it in again, what my wife likes. If that's wine, I'm dancing. I can't believe it. But all right, it has 10 different hashgachas on it. What can I do? Grape juice, peach grape juice, with a fizz, with bubbles, whatever they... Oh my gosh, you can drink four kosot like that and walk away and give Joe DiMaggio's lifetime batting statistics. Can't get drunk from that. But whiskey, how much can you drink? All right, I know. A shot of whiskey, a scotch, a single malt, whatever the godless is, Shivas Regal, Rigmina Shalilo, and goes on in Lud Airport with the duty-free shops. Elliot, Eidut Nemana, that the sons of the Rav drank just a drop, not even a shiv. No, they don't say that, but I would hope that, but this is very strong Eidut. And then they get involved with the whole question of Bracha Achrona. We know we have to have a shiv for a Bracha Achrona. What do you do when you drink a little drop of whiskey? So you should know there are some, you've seen the Achronim, that it's Taluy and what fills you up. That when you drink soda, you have to drink a Revi'i to make a Bracha Achrona. But when you drink whiskey, it could be on a little drop. It fills you up. You say, oh, this is whiskey. This is great. This is good. Could be. You could make a Bracha Achrona. La Lacha, we don't pass in that way, at least in Eretz Yisrael, as far as I know. But now this comes to another problem. And here you see it, right here in the tshuva. Reb Heschel Shechter, Reb Tzvi Shechter, whatever name you know him by, Adam Gottel, published a number of svarim describing what the Rav did. Right? Nefesh HaRav, Nishmat HaRav, what's it? Minhagei HaRav, Mashu Kaza. It's three different titles. So I have a neighbor, Sam Dershowitz. Sam Dershowitz, you all know him, he's a scientist, a big scientist, PhD, Columbia, science, fabric. He never had to worry about making a living in no matter where he lived because he has a very unique doctorate. Here in Israel, he worked for the government. He worked for Chabotnikim, who had factories in Germany manufacturing clothes, and he was their fabric expert. And with Shatnas, he's an expert. He worked for the UN. I mean, a very interesting career. But what you don't know about Sam Dershowitz is that when he graduated college, he and Reb Aaron Lichtenstein both got the Talmud Award. They shared the Talmud Award. So, Eli, what does that tell you? Lo amaretzu. You understand what I'm saying? So Sam lived in Boston for many years. He worked in Malden Mills, Sam Feuerstein, Yitzchak knows what I'm talking about. All right. He badgered the Rav every Shabbos, stopping together, bothered him. And he, we're talking about the Rav, what the Rav did. He found that certain things that Reb Heschel wrote, he remembered just the opposite. So he wrote to Reb Heschel, and Reb Heschel wrote back to him, write your own book, you follow me? He answered him very nicely, very sharply, but very nicely. But what do you see from this? You see, this is life. This is the Rav. Some of us in this room yet knew him. I knew him. Yitzchak knew him. Dov, you knew the Rav. Jonathan, did you know the Rav or it's not? Elliot, did you ever see the Rav, hear the Rav? All right, Baruch Hashem. And yet, there's a living machloket what the Rav did. Yes,
in
yes.
In certain parts of his life, he did one way. And older, he did the
way.
That's the answer.
It's not the answer. The truth is, we're only human beings. And you don't, certain things you don't remember. You understand? People always ask me questions. But I said, look, this question I can't answer because I didn't daven with the Rav in Maimonides. Did he? All I know is, I heard the Rav oppose Tanim Zmiris, not to say it in Shul on Shabbos morning.
Yigdal
is the Aruch HaShulchan already was opposed. Whoever heard of Yud Gimel Ikarim and turning
it's warm, but it's not a
catechism. They were opposed because it's a catechism and it's and they didn't agree with it. But say the Yitzhak, you can say Yigdal, it's not the end of the world. But do you say Tanim Zmiris Shabbos morning? I heard the Rav get hysterical in a yard site share. When does give me that king zuggin, this is what you give a little, don't want to use the word pee, a little you fill it in. A little kid, a snot-nosed kid, doesn't know how to blow his nose, and this kid is singing on his mirrors? My son-in-law told me he wanted my great-grandson to sing on his mirrors Shabbos. I think he's 4 years old, 5 years old. Give a five-year-old kid, right? Believe me, he's a brilliant kid. My great-grandchildren are geniuses because at the age of two already, they speak Hebrew 20 times more quickly than I do. It took me 50 years. I used to learn an abyssal Hebrew at the age of two. They're like that. But he's a brilliant kid, absolutely. My great-grandson, Ein Kleinigkeit, shouldn't be brilliant. And he's a Chatam Sofer Zeneinikel. You got to know the Yichus there. And this kid, you're given to sing Adam's Mirrors? Now, so I don't know. Did the Rav Yitzchak in Maimonides, did they say Adam's Mirrors Shabbat?
I don't know. I didn't. I wasn't there.
You were only in Dorchester. And in Dorchester, when the
they
Rav...
They didn't have a minion with the Rav
Shabbat. All right. Anyway, new Yoma, what do you have to say? What does Adar Rabba mean? There's nothing like a kid. Nevertheless, in my shul, Rivka, if anyone would sing on his mirrors, they'd shoot him on Shabbos. They'd hold it for mitzvah, the oraita, to get rid of this apikoros. But you see, there's machloiket. This is true, inevitably, of course, we're only human beings. So here, he just brought this tremendous Eidut Nemana, that the sons of a Rav, and he says, Shagam hayala fonav yayin sivala kadesh al yash ubekosh katan kidei lahorol talacha letalmidim. And he says, there's Eidot that he had wine, and nevertheless, he made Kiddush on a little cup of whiskey. And then he says, yes, there's contradictory Eidot that he only made Kiddush on whiskey when he didn't have wine. You follow? So once again, but it's very fascinating, and you should know this. Halacha l'maisa, when people give you memories, you can't always be samach on it. We're only human beings. I just heard the Rav this morning. By the way, I'm up in heaven. Anyone who's interested in experiencing heaven, contact Yomo. There's a new video from the Rav available from the 1960s. It's about 11 minutes, Yoma, am I right? 11 and a half minutes. He's speaking at a siyum on Masechet Brachot. And it's the Rav almost in his prime. His voice is even more powerful than Lasok B'Divrei Torah. Lasok B'Divrei Torah is already the early 70s, if I'm correct. This is the 60s. You gotta hear the Rav. But even the Rav says, you got to hear what he's dealing with. I quote him now out of context. You'll hear it, you'll understand it. And anyone across the world who wants the link to it, write to Yomo, who make the link available. But
maybe you can write it on the board now.
Yomo, after class, let me just continue here. Very important. The Rav says, how can the Torah command us not to forget anything we learned, everything we studied? We're only human beings, and according to Rav now, and I had a wonderful memory in my youth. I never forgot anything. Today I start to forget. There are others who forget more than I do. Am I quoting him correctly? And this is the Rav speaking, and this is absolutely true. Rav Moshe Feinstein said, I heard this with my own ears, until he was 60, he didn't know what the word meant to forget something. Didn't understand the word. Then later in life, your mind, I remember when I started, if I don't see someone all the time, I can forget a name. I have to recall the name. So I asked my doctor, he said, congratulations, you're at the age of growing old. He says, everyone is perfectly normal. Don't think it's something terrible. But the Rav, you got to hear him. No, if the Rav can talk like this, what do we want? Plain little mortals, humans, puny. And this is why, Eidat Nemanah, it's so cute here. People are arguing, what did the sons of a Rebbe do? And nevertheless, he goes on, and then he says, yes, there was some opposition. The Munkacha opposed, and he gives a source from the Munkacha's writings that the Munkacha felt in Hungary, wine is ready, available. How do we push the Rambam away? But nevertheless, we have one of the great poskim from Hungary, Beit Shar, Baal Beit HaSharim, a great Rav, and he lived in Hungary, there's plenty of wine. And nevertheless, on Shabbos morning, Eidut Nemanah, he made Kiddush on whiskey. Then he adds an addendum, and you see it's bothering him, because what we see here is we've taken an open psak of the Shulchan Aruch, which goes back to the Rambam. I don't even have to mention the Aruch HaShulchan, which is an achron, but how do we pass it away? And he adds a whole addendum listing out the Rupshitz of Rebbe, the sons of a Rebbe, not only the sons of a Rebbe, but his son, the Shit, they had one famous son, Rebbe Cheskel, the Shinova Rebbe. Anyone of Hungarian Yichus, when you mention the Shinova, I yet knew people who knew him, who saw him, they would shake, just mentioning his name. And he says, even though compared to these individuals, he's quoting the Gemara, I am vinegar compared to wine. These are gedolei chassidus, this is wine, I am vinegar. But nevertheless, mi shenoheg kesani saba, whoever is noheg like these great grandfathers, which is an expression here for great rabbanim, great rabbeim, you have a milas moch. Ein lacharei achareihem. Don't question them. Yesh lachem a milas moch. Okay. Ad kan this tshuva, which opens up a world. You follow me, Dov? It's a world of chassidus. And this is a fabrengen. Understand? When chassidim get together, they fabrengen. What does a fabrengen mean? They talk about the rebbeim. They tell over stories, tell over divrei Torah from the rebbeim. It's like they're bringing the past back to life. That is chassidus. You should know, I was once rebuked. I was together with some friends of mine and some Hasidic guys, and we were all, my friends and yours truly, we're all Tamidim of the Rav. And we started telling stories about the Rav. And this Chassid, after about a half hour of our dashening and talking and telling and describing, he says, you guys, you think you're Litvakin? You're no more than Hasidim. Look at you, you're sitting here 25 minutes already, and you're talking about the Rav like your little Hasidim. So, you know, it's like a rebuke to us. Who do you think you are? So I told him, you're right and you're wrong. We are Talmidim of the Rav. There's a difference, I said. Yes, we are Hasidim, but we're Talmidim. You're a Chassid. What does a Chassid mean? You would never differ with your Rebbe. But we're Talmidim of the Rav. If we reach a Rav, I can give you examples where Rav Heschel Shechter differs with the Rav. 100%. I once said to Heschel, how do you? Yantav Sheni. What did the Rav Paskin? I can tell you, after I can go on now and talk for 1 year. It's not important. Halacha Lamaisa. Yantav Sheni said, din like Kriya to Megillah. Yonatan came to Israel to visit Israel before Purim. Purim day he was in Yerushalayim, he didn't read Megillah. Then he went to Tel Aviv, something happened, the next day Shushan Purim, he's in Tel Aviv, he didn't read Megillah. His feet are here, Chayav, Yerushalayim. When? Shushan Purim. Your feet are in Tel Aviv, Chayav, Yud Dalet, right or wrong? The Rav held, it's the Chacham Tzvi, Rav Chaim Brisker, the Chazon Ish, the Rav Avraham Yitzchak HaKohen Cook. I can go on and on. The Munkach even held this way. It was a rebellion against the Shulchan Aruch. But it's an amazing question. How do you rebel against the Shulchan Aruch? But leave that for the 2.5 years I lectured on it in Gris. It's all online. But Yontif Sheni, where your feet are. No, where your feet are. If you're in Israel one day, you're in America 2 days. How does Rav Heschel Paskin like the Shulchan Aruch? If you're visiting in Israel, you can't do Malacha Yontif Sheni. You can make Kiddush, you can make Brachot. I believe he Paskin's that way. It's unbelievable. Differs with the Rav. Show me one chassid who would dare to differ with his Rebbe. Show me the seventh Rebbe. You're going to come out against the psak of the Alter Rebbe, of the Rav Shulchan Aruch? This is the difference. Elliot, this is the difference. Perfect example. Okay? Yes, Yitzchak.
So based on this, if someone is coming from Framingham, Massachusetts,
right,
to a hotel in Israel for Pesach, he can keep one Seder?
According to the Rav, anything beyond one Seder would just be a Chumrah. See, there's a second problem here. I spoke with the Rav about this, and the problem is, is he a Lamdan or not? If he's a Lamdan, one Seder. If he's not a Lamdan, you're worried he'll be Mezalzel in Yontif when he goes back to America. So then, tell him not to do Malacha Yontif. He should know and do a Seder without Bracha. It's Seder what we do. But that's Chumra B'Yama. There was a case in Staten Island that a rabbi who had studied here and he took over a position there, he had kulit for Yontif Sheni because he said in Israel they don't observe anything. You can therefore here we can be more maker, take a shower. It's a tremendous outcry. Tremendous outcry. This was it had big repercussions. But that's the heart of the problem. If someone's a Lamdan, when I'm in America, I keep 2 full days. I was in South Africa, I kept 2 full days. I was in Australia, I kept 2 full days. People looked at me like I'm an insane, crazy, but all right, that's, I understand, I'll slum this, I understand the Rav. So I can't argue with the Rav. If the Rav told me in these years when I spoke and learning, but Rav Heschel, I said, wow, to Paskin against the Rav and something, they reached that conclusion, you understand. Rav Shlomo Zalman also felt like Rav Moshe Feinstein, like the Shulchan Aruch, they Paskin against the Chacham Tzvi, they Paskin against the Rav.
What did Rav Aaron do with the boys of the Haaretz, you know?
Go ask, I don't know. Haaretz, you do whatever you want. There are many poskim there. They don't bring, there's not one way in Haaretz, you know. But I don't know. I would imagine the majority might have not done Malacha Yontif Sheni, but they certainly didn't observe 2 full days. That's for sure.
And didn't have a second Seder?
If they had a second Seder without Brachot, what the Rav Shmuel Salant lists out with the Rav Tukachinsky in Yir HaKodesh VaMikdash, he deals with it and tells you how to make a second Seder without Brachot. But in America, I made a second Seder with Brachot Kedat V'Kedin. You follow? What can I do? The Rav, if anyone has a complaint against me, the Rav, the Chacham Tzvi, Reb Chaim said, Ich hab nicht gesehen, any of us can fend from the Shailas from the Chacham Tzvi, any of us for anyone who could rebuke or answer the questions that the Chacham Tzvi asked. All right, Ad Kan, but all right, it's a very fascinating topic. How far can Hasidus go? I'll go, if you want, I'll go one step further. I'll throw out something, but this is something you can do research on for the rest of your life, get a PhD on it. I'll throw out. When I learned in Lakewood, and by the way, this past summer, we spoke about it again, and I never dreamt. Imagine I had the schut to learn in Lakewood under Reb Aaron Cutler, and generations later I would be honored by his grandson, Aaron Cutler, in Lakewood. And this came up in the discussion in my talk and answering questions. So there was a lot of criticism of Lubavitch. Lubavitch was then beginning. You got to understand, Reb Aaron and the Lubavitch, the seventh Rebbe, arrived in America the same year, 1941. The sixth Rebbe came 40, Reb Aaron came 41, the seventh Rebbe came 41. And what can I tell you? By the early 50s, America was being built Torah-wise. Who would ever dream 91,000 people at a stadium for Siyum Shas, another 20,000 at a different stadium. I mean, Jonathan, were you there? They tell me they froze. My nephew says he froze. Everyone there. What?
I was there.
You were there, so you know what I'm talking about. I saw the movies here. I felt bad. But I guess why do they make it so big? Take five smaller places indoors. No, but physically, people didn't get sick. I mean, the Madison Square Garden covered. All right, I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. Here in Israel, it was divided up all over, and it worked out very well. They had different days. It was very nice in Israel. And the women had here, we had a whole sea of women, thousands of women, including wives of people who'll be here. Oh, no, they're in one is in America now, but from my own classes. So they spoke against Lakewood. Why did they speak against Lakewood? So one reason is obvious, Beitel Torah. You go out in the street with tefillin, the people should put on tefillin, and people should take lulav and etrog. Midat zitzin and learn, and you got to sit and learn. What are you going out in the street? All right, that was one. That's a minor criticism. There was a much major one. Now, who can tell me? Shoshanagachatapara. It's a code, it's a rubric. When I said in Lakewood, Shoshan, everyone knew what I was talking about. In the early 40s, the sixth Rebbe gave a talk on Shabbos, and he spoke about Shoshanagachatapara, the Gemara, and Baba Kama Eliyot, that it's the Yetzer Ra knocking over the Yetzer Tov. Sure, Yetzer Ra, a little para, the sweet little a cow gets knocked over. And he went into a whole pilpul. Tell me, are you allowed to take a Gemara and speak like this? It's an interesting question. And in Lakewood, they told Rabbi Aaron Cutler, you know, he was in, Rabbi Aaron Cutler was in Brooklyn too. The Rebbe, he was in Borough Park. The Rebbe spoke in Crown Heights. It reached Rabbi Aaron Cutler's ears, and he declared apikrusis. Apikrusis. Look, I don't have to tell you, the world can shake. Now, I have to tell you, in my own research, many, many decades later, I came up that it wasn't new to the sixth Rebbe. It was of Shmuel Shmelka, many generations earlier, gave the same pshetel. But now this raises a very serious question. Are you allowed to take halachic gemaras and give Hasidic pshetlach? Isaac, listen carefully. Did you ever learn the first Mishnah Bracha that they first began Shas again? Oh my gosh. And the story is that this Litva comes in to Chassidish Rebbe and he wants to learn and they're learning him. And boy, you know, he starts touching up. What time? When is the Chiyuv? When are you Yotzei? And the Chassidish Rebbe, it's told about many Chassidish Rebbes, but it gets hysterical. That's the pshat, you ignoramus. Me'ema taikarinet hashma shel avid. Me'ema umeyira kodem hashma shel avid. And the person hears that, became a chassid on the spot. No, I want to ask you, Dolph, if your father set a pshat like that in Mir, or your uncle set a pshat like that in Mir, what would have happened to them? It's a very interesting question. So one second. I want you to know there's an entire sefer written by Yishai Hasida. It's published by Merkaz Rav Kook, one of their classic svarim, on Hasidic pshetlach on Shas. And you see, if we're going to take the attitude they're up because of them and this is wrong, so then you wind up in a situation like today that Rakefet has magnificent plans for Yeshiva University and Yiddishkeit, and everyone laughs at him. Why? Chassidim? This Rebbe doesn't, the Rosh Yeshiva NYU doesn't eat from a Chabad Hashgacha. Now, let me tell you something, Dov. If you don't eat from a Chabad Hashgacha, you cannot eat. So you're going to tell me, I don't eat the okay. Okay is Chabad, right? You can't eat the Chafke. You can't eat the OU. I want to ask a simple question. Rabbi Hertz, are you willing to live in Thailand? Are you willing to live in China? And there are 50 plants in China under Hashgacha. So they told me from the OU, if we got to get rid of Chabad, we got to close down the OU. They have this type of Mesirat Nefesh. I can't do it. I can't do it. One of my daughters moved. She now lives. She davens in a Chabad shul in Talpiyot. She said, you can't believe what's going on. The shluchim, the woman is a lamdanet mufeket. She teaches the Parshat HaShavua. She sounds like Nechama Leiva. She's unbelievable. And she grew up Chabad. Her father was the Shaluch to New Haven. I mean, it's not Kukumina. It's Gebarina. They were born into it. And you, I've heard her teach. She mentions the Rebbe like I mentioned the Rebbe. But much broader. There's much more. Okay. All right. Well, if they are Picasso, we're in trouble. But I take the point of view, Shivim Panim LaTorah. Doesn't mean Me'ematai Korinat Hashmar Shel Avet, that it only means Me'emah Me'yir. Obviously, it has the halachic implication. But if you make a Jew a little bit frumma, Me'emah Me'yir Korinat Hashmar, what's wrong with it? Sure, Shanada Chatapara, you don't take it out of the concept of Chavalu Masik, but fine. We have a struggle. The Yetzer Hara is very big. We'll see tomorrow how big the Yetzer Hara is. We're little Yetzer Tov, a little Parah is walking along, minding its business. And the big, what's wrong? So you see, this is so crucial. And you see it here in the Tshuva. A Litvak Vatzichop Galachin would laugh, all right, the Rapshitz and the Kutzke, of course, the Kutzke here, and the Samseva and the Shinova. Yeah, but this shows Halacha L'maisa. And they were Mekil, and we cannot fault anyone making Kiddush on Shnap Shabbos morning. I just want to hear about the Lubavitch water. My Yetzer Hara has gotten the best of me. Okay, Yitzchak, final word.
I think I heard this from the Rav.
Yeah.
That why do we start brachas, the second brachas in Shema Yisrael at night? The answer is that we weren't Torah even in times of
difficulty. Beautiful, beautiful.
Now, tell me something. Does that make the Rav an apichoris? Does it make the sons of Rebbe an apichoris? No! These are Hasidim. They have Avat Hashem, they have Tveikus, they want to be close.
Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. I heard from the same Rav. The Rav, when he touched up Einadon Konema Katori Ella Mashu Lomei Belaila. Look into Ramam Hilcha Tamat Torah. Laila, time of stress, difficulty, tsaras, holocaust. Suffering, that was Rebbe. I'm very proud that the snippets are coming out now, and let the world listen who the Rav was. And you know who's putting in the English? It's Arnold Lustiger, Dr. Lustiger. No one does a finer job than Dr. Lustiger. And Arnold Lustiger is
the Pope's cousin?
Yeah. He's not the Pope. He's the Cardinal. He's the story of our generation. His cousin was Cardinal Lustiger of Paris. And there are more. I've met other relatives in Islam. They're all from. All the relatives are from. And the cousin was put in a church, in a monastery, and he remained. He rose, a Yiddish cup. He wound up the Cardinal of Paris. It's a tragedy, but that's our generation.
And he wanted someone to say Kaddish.
Yeah, at his funeral, they said Kaddish. It was a funeral for a cardinal with all the Catholicism in it, and in addition, they threw in a Kaddish. It's the story of our generation. But thank God for Arnold, and he is so capable. And you know what the bottom line is? He never met the Rav. He never learned with the Rav. He was raised right wing. He went to Philadelphia Yeshiva, if my memory is correct. But one time in University of Pennsylvania, the Rav came to speak, and he went to hear the Rav, and he was blown away. And Baruch Hashem. Okay, now let me go one step further. And here we're dealing with Shabbos. This is, I would say, one of the funniest questions to come up in response to literature. I'm not certain every posek would have answered it, but Reb Menashe Klein, right on with the answer. Now, what's the question? 1970, writes to Rav David HaKohen Rosenberg, don't know who it is. I'm quoting from Chelek Chet, Siman Kuf Aleph. And what happened? This individual was walking along on Shabbos, let's say in Borough Park, and his hat was strimal, was blown off. And blown, the wind carried it and blew it under a car. How does he get his hat back on Shabbos? Now, what's the question here? Does anyone understand? Let me introduce Shmiret Shabbat Gehilchata. Peret Yud Zayin, I'm quoting from, I always quote Chelek Aleph from the latest edition. This is the third edition, the final edition. He died shortly after it came out. He was a fabulous individual, Reb Neuwirth, Reb Yoshua Yeshayahu, I think his name is, I'm pretty sure, lived right up the block from here. And what an individual. Only Israel gets the cream of the crop like this. He was a survivor from Holland, if you know his life story. And he was forced to leave Holland on Shabbos to get to Israel after the Holocaust. They said now or never. And he felt very bad that he had to leave on Shabbos. And he vowed that in Eretz Yisrael, he's going to write a sefer, the covered Shabbos. And the Shmiret Shabbat Gehilchacha changed the entire halachic writing, the whole style. He's a product of the Talmudic encyclopedia. You follow me? Okay. So I'm quoting Perek Yud Zayin, Halacha Bet. You all, I can't go into details now. You all know I spent a few years on why Jews kill each other over Nehrev. It's halachically one of our biggest problems ever. An Erev in Manhattan, an Erev in Brooklyn. Can you have such a thing? An Erev in Yerushalayim today, a million people, etc. Rishat HaRabim, so you know, there are four Rishat and Shabbos, Rishat HaRabim, Rishat HaYachid, Kamelet, and Rishat HaTuah. The Rishat HaYachid, Nechshav, I'm quoting, Kol Makom HaMukaf Mechitza, HaGvoa, לפחות עשר תפחים, ושטחו לפחות ארבעה רבה תפחים. So what is a רשות היחד? A מחיצה, 10 תפחים high. How high is 10 תפחים? It could be 40 inches, 50 inches. By the way, this plays a role in מחיצה. The Rav Shita B'dieved, what's the smallest מחיצה you could have in a shul if you've gone into Jewish center? So you'll see mechitza of 50 inches, if you can recognize it as a mechitza. When Lincoln Square began, it also had a little 50-inch mechitza like that. And all right, it's 10 tefachim. I'm proud to say in my shul I began with 55, and by the time I left, I think we had 60 or 65 already. I had glass on top of the bottom pot, which was an achievement. You got to remember the 60s. And so wait a minute, what's a Rishit HaYachid? 10 tefachim high, 4x4 on the floor, and the Shmiret Shabbat goes further, Kigom Bayit, Obira, V'chein Chatzer, Afilu Ir, Mukefet Chomed, Latot Nulat Balayla. Listen carefully, Va'afilu Kli. Even a kli, kagon aron, agala. No, add on the next word, mechonit. Do you understand the problem here? A car is reshit hayachid. How high is a car? Certainly more than 10 tefachim. You got to fit into the car, though, right? It's more than 10 tefachim. 60 inches, 70 inches height. The car is on the ground. No, what am I saying on the ground? Lavud, you know the word? Three tfachim. Lavud. Three tfachim. It's like it's sealed on the ground. The car, all right, there's a little space underneath the car. The wheels have to run, but you're within three tfachim of the ground. That's for sure. A car is dalad al dalad. Right or wrong? What did I say? What does it have to be? Yeah, dalit al dalit, tfachim. Come. What I just read to you, car certainly is dalit al dalit, tfachim. What are you so upset, Yomo? A car, dalit tfachim? Absolutely. Even a two-seater is dalit al dalit, tfachim. Let me tell you something. When I came in Aliyah, there was a young man here who made Aliyah and then went back to America, became very famous, and many decades later came back in Aliyah. You will all recognize the name, David Olivestone. Recognize the name? You worked with him in the OU, Dove. The OU Bencher, what's it called? What's the word? Is that the word they use? The synagogue, NCSY Bencher. Who put it out? David Olivestone. Who did the artwork? David Olivestone. English, very capable. David Olivestone in 1969, Sukkot, was on the front page of Yediot Mariv. Do you know why? He lifted up the glass roof on top of his car and put Tzchachim, a sukkah. Big enough, person goes in, how big does a sukkah have to be? The majority of the person, you have to be able to sit there, eat, right, wrong? Car? He had a skylight, lifted it up, put tzchach over it, front page of every Israeli newspaper. So now, the Shiler is real. The car, when I first saw the question, I didn't understand what the shot. Then I realized that, wow, the car is Rishut HaYachid. His shtreimel is under the car. How does he get it out? He's Rishut HaRabim. You're standing in Brooklyn. You're standing in Manhattan. A million people live there. Rishut HaRabim. And you all know what's the Issa of carrying? If you just transfer it from Rishut HaYachid to Rishut HaRabim or vice versa, you make an Akira Vahanacha. Am I right or wrong? Effie, what do you say? You lift it up. You put it on your head. Akira, lifting up. Put it on your head. Hanacha. Bani Shalom. You take it out. You stop walking, you're going to put it on. He said, D'oraita. Don't even have to carry Dalarama. That's a different story. If you carry something Dalarama to Rishut HaRabim, it's also an Issa D'oraita with Akira and Hanacha. But here, you don't have to go Dalarama. The car to the sidewalk. Wow. This is the question that he got. What do you do? What do you do? Okay. What's interesting about the tshuva, once again, his lack of matan Hebrew and his mastery of English. Ubedavar shelato b'mishenafalo kovo meirosho b'shabes kaidish v'ruach nasal tachat mechona. What's the word we use for car in matan Hebrew? Mechonit. What does mechona mean in matan Hebrew? A machine. You follow me? I got to tell you something. In Yiddish, no one knew that when the car was 1965 was the 25th yahrzeit of Rabbi Revel. So I was working on my doctorate then, and there was a big event in YU in the Beis Medrash, the 25th yahrzeit, and one of his early Talmidim who got smicha from the first class that got smicha in 1919, Sal B. Friedman spoke. Rabbi Friedman was rabbi of the Yisrael of Washington Heights. He also was a prominent lawyer. he was very well known because he was the first American-born musmach of the yeshiva, Saul B. Friedman. And of course, this event was entirely in Yiddish, and he spoke about something with a car, and the word he used for a car was amishinka. Do you remember that word, Yitzchak? And I remember it took me a minute to realize amishinka can mean a machine. No, it meant the car. Notice he's translating from the Yiddish to what he thinks is Hebrew here. Mechona, mishinka. Then he puts in parentheses, kar belaz, kuf aleph resh. So this is the question. All right. Fabulous question. He compares it to the following halacha. And I have to tell you, when I quote the Shulchan Aruch, you can trace it all the way back to the Gemara. You've all learned this Gemara. Hayata, I'm quoting from the Shulchan Aruch, Siman Reish Samech Vav Sif Yud Aleph. You can trace it back. Hayata chavilato munachat al kteifo v'kideish alav hayom. Could you imagine this problem? You're bringing back a bag of diamonds. You're in the diamond district. Something valuable. I don't want you to say to me, throw it away. What's it worth? It's not that you have a bag in it with face with some peanuts and a bottle of soda that you just bought and you get caught now. Bag of diamonds and sunset. You didn't judge properly, or there was a chefetz chashud, or the police, what do they call it in New York? A police action, I think is the word they use. You constantly hear that on the subway, that the train is slowed down because two stations up ahead there's a police. Is that the term, police action? Am I quoting it? Police activity, correct. Thank you. Police activity is right. So you slow down, you couldn't. Oh my gosh, and now you're carrying everything else, empty your pockets. What do you do with the package of diamonds on your back? So the Shulchan Aruch Paschim, based upon the Gemara, what do you do? Rotz techa ad beito v'dafke rotz al v'leilech la'at lo kiven the leitche keira ati l'mevada kireva chanacha the zimnim koi v'lo al daito al ravratz itzle hakara. What's he saying here? Let me explain it. What's the Yisa? I just said to you, going from one Rishut to another, but you have to make akira vahanacha. You have to lift it up and put it down. Or going dalet amot, but you have to have akira and hanacha. He says, it's based upon the Gemara, run to your house. Why? If you're running, you realize it's different. You can't stop. It's not normal. That way you reach the house, there was no akira, then no hanacha. When you reach the house, what do? Zarikla kiliachayad, dahainu shelo kederech zrika, kigol mekteifav uliachara. Very, very fascinating. You run. You reach the house. You reach the house. You're carrying the diamonds on your shoulder. Push it over. How would you normally put it down? In front of you, place it down. Kiliachayad, there is no hanacha kederech normalit, what we'll say. Kederech hachayim, kederech hachol. So you see, hold on, Yomo, 1 second. There may be a precedent. What do? You have the diamonds on your back, suddenly it's Shabbat, you can't carry Dalet Amot, start running. You never made an Akira because it's on your back to begin with. You're never going to make a Hanacha because you're going to throw it over Kaliachiyat. Why do you run? Because if you just walked, And you saw it in the Shulchan Aruch, based upon the Gemara, if you just walk, well, a person normally walking knows to stop. There's only one problem here. This could never work out in the modern world unless you're living in Bnei Brak or Geula or Me'er Sharim. Yitzchak, why? The car's running. Could you imagine you're running, trying to cross a red light? You can't stop. You can't stop. And there's the car. Doesn't work out in the modern world. This is another reason why everyone thinks the Aruch HaShulchan is the greatest mekel in the world. Didn't Rabbi Saul Berman declare 25 years ago when Adav, the predecessor of Chovevei Torah, was getting started, we have to translate the Aruch HaShulchan into English. Eliot, if we're going to follow every psak of the Aruch HaShulchan, you couldn't go out of your house on Shabbat. Can you tell me why? He held you're not allowed to wear glasses. It's a top shit, man. What are we talking about? It's not part of you. Can you picture who here doesn't wear glasses? Effie, you don't have contact lenses? Rebbeinu Shel Olam. You people, are you Jewish or not Jewish? What's going on here? Rebbeinu Shel Olam. Where's Scotty? Yes, Scotty. I don't know. What does he wear? Contact lenses? Yomo, where are your glasses? What's going on? But anyone wearing glasses? Rebbeinu Shel Olam. No, Yitzchak, who used to walk home, let's fabreng and tell a story that the Rav told Danny Chill on the train from New England into New York, the New England Railroad, what they call Amtrak today. Remember the story? He told Danny Chill that Reb Chaim Brisker, when he davened Maariv on Hanukkah, closed his eyes when he walked out, and two balabatim had to hold him on each side and walk home with him. He would not open his eyes. No, can anyone tell me why? What do you say, Isaac? Ah, the whole shaila asa nisim labotenu bayamim ha'heim hazman. The minute he saw candelabras, Hanukkah lit, he'd have to make a bracha. He wanted to make the bracha in his house to be motzi the family. Walked with his eyes closed. It's a beautiful etza. But that's in theory. Maybe Bnei Brak, there's no traffic. Maybe by Fagan, there's no traffic. All right, in my neighborhood now, it's what's happened over the last 50 plus years is unbelievable. Katamon and the Kiryat Shmuel, Rechavia, outside of Rechov Vaza, you don't see a car, basically. It's amazing, amazing. But nevertheless, it's not exactly a solution, but for the person with his hat under the car, maybe this is an etzah. Crawl under the car? We'll see next week. I'll read to you what's going on. It's an unbelievable description. Crawl under the car. Grab the hat. Don't stop. And then just throw it over your shoulder. Don't make a hanacha. And maybe you'll have an answer how to solve your hat and your shtreimel. Then you're standing still. Then you can put the hat on. Bereshit HaRabim, you stop. Gentlemen, all this may be halachically correct, but there's a much more basic reason why Rav Menashe Klein can be lenient here. And this takes us to the heart of the problem. Dov, when you're in Brooklyn, are you samach on the Erev, Flatbush, Borough Park? So much blood was shed over that Erev.
Yes.
You're samach, I'm samach. Washington Heights, you have an Erev today. They say Rav Schechter, right? Gives, am I right or wrong? They say he approves it, the one in Washington Heights.
I don't think of the whole thing.
Not the whole, but part of it?
Because once you go down the hill, or Schechter takes it out of Erev anymore. Because the buildings aren't the same.
No, I'm sure he's more Mahmoud than Rav Menashe Klein. But you see, you're touching upon a very basic question today. We lectured on it for 2.5 years, and you can never reach an ultimate black and white answer. If Rav Menashe Klein is right, and those who think like him are correct, then essentially there is no Rishut HaRabim D'Oraita Bisman Hazeh. Rishut HaRabim, if we go back in my time machine to the Midbar, and we have a Srati Uplatya, we have a road that begins at one part of the city and goes through the entire city, not going right, not going left, not curving, and then it ends at the end of the city. That's a Rishut HaRabim D'Oraita. And you have 600 people, 600,000 people, thank you, walking around on Shabbos. Then you have a Rishut HaRabim D'Oraita. Tell me, do we have one street in Jerusalem or Manhattan or Brooklyn? And don't give me Ocean Parkway. It curves. I'm an absolute witness that it curves. Not only that, where do you have 600,000 people out in the streets? Oh, so Effie says, Rebbe, what are you talking about? You have Ocean Parkway, Shabbos, Manhattan. Yeah, but many of them are in cars. Can you count the people in cars? Or are the cars a reshut bifnei atzmam? Isaac, a doctorate was done on this. Can you tell me who just did a doctorate at New York University? As a matter of fact, his son is getting married today in Houston, Texas. Have I given you enough hints? You got it. Rabbi Adam Mintz. Thank you. I have a copy of the doctorate in my office. Brilliant work. Adam Mintz is not an Amaris. Beautiful work. He has Yadin Yadin from the yeshiva when they had official program, Yari Yari Yadin Yadin. And beautiful doctorate. And wow, what a question. So of course, this guy's hat is under the car. This is a classic example of Rishut HaYochet to Rishut HaRabim. But we have a source. You get caught with a package on your shoulder. It's Erev Shabbos. Suddenly the sun is setting. I'll tell you a story, end off the class with a true story. It's a real shiva. There may be a source. Alacha kama v'kama, we have to seek a kula when perhaps there is no Rishut HaRabim D'Oraita. And Rav Menashe Klein holds there's no Rishut HaRabim D'Oraita v'zman hazeh. And all the eruvim that are built, basically, you go back to Rav Menashe Klein, whether it's Chicago, Los Angeles, all of New York, Yerushalayim, Tel Aviv, Haifa. This is not a little yeshiv where you can say, all right, we can put up an Erev around Shiloh, an Erev around Bethel. There's no Sratia Platja, and there's no 600,000, etc. This is a real serious question. We don't have doors. If we had doors, it would be a different story. But we have a Tzurat HaPesach. But is that good on a level of a Rishut HaRabim D'Oraita? And I want to tell you a real story. I end off with it. I ever told this story before? Stop me. I don't think I've ever told it before in public. I was the guest, Malk and I were the guest of the Australian community 20 years ago. Well, we finished in Melbourne, we reached Sydney. Reach Sydney on Wednesday. We're greeted at the airport by the president of the Mizrahi and the guest of Mizrahi. And Mizrahi and Chabad in Australia are interconnected. And the wonderful man meets me, takes us to the hotel we're in. It was actually a motel, very well located with the shuls. And I tell him, well, I'd like to meet the rabbi to discuss with him what he wants me to speak about. My first talk, public talk, will be Friday night. And Thursday, he takes me to Davin. We Davin after the minyan. We go to the rabbi's office where the Jewish Community Council has their offices. There's no rabbi. Go Friday night, and the reporters want to speak to the rabbis. A class act, Rabbi Chaim Gutnick, part of the Gutnick family. No rabbi. Come to shul Friday night. No rabbi. I get up to speak. I apologize. It is the first time in my life I'm ever speaking without being invited to the pulpit. It's the rabbi's pulpit. But I realize I'm not going to be here next week. So I'm speaking. All right, I speak. We're now walking out of shul and a big crowd is following the guest rabbi named Rav Heffet. They heard me speak, young people. And the president is walking with me and I say to the president, where are we eating tonight? He says, at the rabbi's house. But there's no rabbi. He says, yeah, we know. We'll see what happens. We walk another two blocks. And suddenly the young people start yelling, there's the rabbi! And I see a little guy with Hasidic dress rushing along. We get to the house. His wife apologizes to rabbis, davening a couple of Shabbos. And we say, well, what's the story? And she told us, he's the rabbi of Sydney. New Zealand does not have any rabbi living there. He's there. Reverend Sheikhtim. It's a much smaller, an infinitely smaller Jewish community. As Mori Tarragon can tell you, he was just there. I think Charlie Hexter was just there. Professor Tarragon and Dr. Hexter were just in New Zealand. So they can tell you. Rabbi Gutnick is there of Beitin, forgotten and whatever has to be done. He had a get in Australia, Thursday night, Thursday by day, till they finished the get. No more planes for flying out. It was too late to get to the airport. So he said, I'll fly back Friday morning. Friday morning was very bad weather. Planes were grounded. He told me it's not the first time it happened to him. Finally, they were able to fly a plane out. He was on the plane. It was the winter. Shabbat is early. And he's in this cab. And a tall Australian driver. Big people there. And he looks at his watch. It's sunset. He says to the driver, take my attaché case. Here's $50, $50 Australian, go to this address, and just tell my wife at what time you left me off. And that was exactly what we're reading about. A guy got stuck with diamonds on his back, and the sun is setting. He had to get out of the cab. It was sunset. By telling his wife where he got out of the cab, it meant she would know he'd be home. It's a 20-minute walk, a 30-minute walk. She would know what's happening. It's exactly this Gemara. Should I end off here or tell you more? You have another 2 minutes? Sure. All right. The rest of the story has nothing to do with the Gemara, the Psak, but it's very fascinating. Malka and I come into the house, and we see all these pictures of the Rebbe. These are not poor people, endless portraits of the seventh Rebbe. So Mark and I look at each other, you know what, big brother is watching, it's going to be awkward a little bit, Litvak, it's all right, I have understanding, not at kedei kach, that everywhere I turn, and the Rebbe was very photogenic, you know that, there's a picture in my office, and very photogenic. So this lady, Rabbi Rakefet, what an honor to meet you. She says, you don't know how much you mean to us. I look at her. She's from Cincinnati. You don't know what your book did for our community in Cincinnati, What am I talking about, Eliot? My second volume, the Suva era, Rabbi Eliezer Suva, his generation. Dov, where is Rabbi Suva from?
Cincinnati.
You got it. Av Beitin Rav of Cincinnati. All right. But that was the start. Then the meal begins, and the husband and wife say something to each other in cold language, and we look at each other, and they look at us, and they say, "You too?" And we say, "You too?" And it was the greatest Friday night we ever had. Eliot, you don't know what we're talking about. Very simple. They quoted from Fawlty Towers. Have you ever seen Fawlty Towers? It's the greatest sitcom that the BBC ever put out. It's ingenious. There were only 12 episodes. Mark and I know all 12 episodes by heart. The Goodniks knew all 12 episodes by heart. We said to them, "How do you come to the Fawlty Towers?" I say, "We come to it in Israel." They showed it. We got it. I have the videos. The girls from Cincinnati. A shidduch was made at Chabad. They're both Chabadnikim. He came from Australia. He came from Cincinnati, the 770 area. She made a deal with him. She's only going to marry an Australian and live in Sydney if 1 month a year they go back to Cincinnati. Every summer they go back to Cincinnati, come to a parent's house. Parents take the grandchildren. They go downstairs and they spend the next month watching Fawlty Towers. Well, we acted out, if you know, Fawlty Towers, the Gestapo. Don't mention the war, the Gestapo goose step. We acted it out, the four of us. It was fabulous. We wound up a night that began, no rabbi and the big brother watching. Ribbono shel Olam, it was a miracle. We said a few words on Parshat HaShavua. My dear students, to reiterate, all right, Baruch Hashem, we all are mortals. Let us not forget it. Michael, to reiterate, what do we do today? Oh, we finished out the liquor. We dealt with the Hasidic. See, that has Hasidic overtones, the way he writes the tshuva, what he quotes. I wish you would open it up and see it inside. And the machloikis, what the Rebbe did, different opinions. Eimatai koron et hashma. I agree with Yitzchak. There's nothing wrong with learning a Hasidic pshat. If you say it's the only pshat, you're an idiot. But if you take the shakla v'taya, that's one part. But then I have a right, shivim panim l'Torah? Absolutely. The shayla will finish out next week, and then we're touching upon something very fascinating, which again, he's one of the first to deal with it, the computer on Shabbos. Very fascinating, his description. It's the 70s, it's just beginning, but the implications go way beyond. And I'll throw out ideas, questions. You can research it endlessly. How can you run a bank under Torah auspices today? What do you do when John Hancock wants to come along on Shabbos and take out 5,000 shekel? Goes to the machine, etc. And you see the first traces of it. And I'll show you implications too. A dishwasher on Shabbos, on Yom Tov, the implications, very, very fascinating. And he's one of the first to deal with it. I don't believe Reb Moshe has any tshuva dealing with the computer. But he was one of the first, and he deals with it. Tomorrow is one of the most important shiurim ever. I couldn't give it 20 or 10 years ago. Jack asked certain questions that will be worked right into the shiur b'gadol. And Yitzchak will wind up having to apologize to Rabbi Hollander.
Should I bring my copy of One Man's Judaism?
I'm going to quote it right in class. Why do you have to bring your copy? I have it all Xeroxed, what I need. But bring your copy, show it to the class. Adarabba v'yadarabba. And by the end of tomorrow and next week, you will agree with me, we have now created modern orthodoxy. The rabbis were modern rabbis, but rabbis Young and Lukstein And Young, Lichtenstein, maybe you can push into Matno, but Rabbi Young and Rabbi Goldstein and Rabbi Drachman did not create a modern orthodoxy. It happens later. All right, let me give out the freebies. First of all, this is Reb Moshe Feinstein, his tshuva to the Lubavitcher Rebbe on Rabbeinu Tam Tefillin. It's a very famous tshuva. It appears in the Yigrat Moshe, and here it is published by Lubavitch. And you see Reb Moshe, God, Kalakavod, no. You read the tshuva, how he finally agrees to put on Rabbeinu Tam Tefillin, and he put in his youth. It's a shocking tshuva, because it means we should be putting on Rabbeinu Tam Tefillin. Yitzchak, you're going to go into heaven. Here is a picture that has surfaced of the Rav, and yours truly was asked, what's this picture about? And I'll tell you what I answered, and I am 99% certain I'm right. This is the Rav as a young man in the early 50s. Look at the beard, you'll understand. This is summertime. Everyone is without jackets, basically. It has to be in Bernard Rebel Graduate School. The summit's called Harry Fischel Graduate School. I don't know if they still do it today. Of course, he paid money to have his name. And it's the Rav teaching Moreh Nevuchim. And he's just told the joke, and the whole class is laughing. Who is the rabbi sitting in front of the Rav with that delectable smile? No, that's Rabbi Shmuel Kirstenfeld, the Hungarian Rosh Yeshiva, who was much more broad-minded than the other Rosh Yeshiva. And there he is, sitting in front of the Rav, laughing with everyone else. Anyone who wants a copy, if I'll make more if necessary. Effie, this is crucially important for you. This was sent to me, an article that Rabbi Belton published in 1933. Send it on to your family. Okay? Very fascinating. This is a letter by Reb Shimon Shkopf, where he's asking Professor Davidson of the seminary, who we knew from Grodno, to help his son Reb Avraham get into a PhD program in Toronto. This is yours. It's about Toronto. You'll see. The rest, the Russian perspective on World War II, listen to this. The commanding officer at the Russian Military Academy, the equivalent of a four-star general in the U.S., gave a lecture on potential problems of military strategy. At the end of the lecture, he asked, are there questions? An officer stood up and asked, will there be a Third World War and will Russia take part of it? The general answered both questions in the affirmative. Another officer asked, who will be the enemy? The general answered, all indications point to China. Everyone in the audience was shocked. A third officer remarked, general, we are a nation of only 150 million compared to the 1.5 billion Chinese. Can we win it all or even survive? The general answered, just think about this for a moment. In modern warfare, it is not the quantity of soldiers that matter, but the quality of an army's capabilities. For example, in the Middle East, we have had a few wars recently where 5 million Jews fought against 150 million Arabs, and Israel was always victorious. After a small pause, yet another officer from the back of the auditorium asked, do we have enough Jews? Look at this scene in a bookstore in Bnei Brak. This is the Chazon Ish Sfarim, and right next to it, the Rav, Rishimat Sheyurim, that Rabbi Heshi Reichman is putting out. The Rav and the Chazon Ish next to each other. Marijuana will be legalized in New York. This is anyone here from New York. What's happening to this May? This is Governor Cuomo sitting. They're going to destroy any vestige of civilization, in my opinion. Anti-Semitic actions, tremendous outcry in New York against the new law that you arrest someone and they go free that day. No bail anymore. This is about genes that have been engineered with a gene drive, a type of fly that causes it to have red fluorescent eyes. And the whole question, whether I'll pee din, halacha, you're allowed to do this, and whether it's good for humans. Michael, I have some material on baseball here too. Israel, high-tech companies raised $39 billion in the last decade. Could you imagine that? You got the safer, right?
Thank you.
Okay, pass it on. This is very important for Dove and Jonathan. Men with beards feel more confident than men who shave. Research, New York Times. Elizabeth Wurzel, author of Prozac Nation, dies, lo aleinu, at the age of 52. She's a Ramaz graduate. Anyone read her writings, her works? Ramaz graduate. Mamie Kirkland, an Afro-American woman, died at the age of 111, and she saw part of the Negro history, the lynchings and everything that went on, and lived to be 111. The Polish president pulls out of the Holocaust celebrations here and memorials. Lo aleinu, he's upset he wasn't asked to speak. I guess because Putin's coming, Putin is putting the whole blame on the Poles. Very interesting New York Times article. New kosher meatless alternative finds magic in mushrooms. It's unbelievable. You can now have meatballs, what do they call this? Hamburgers and cheese sandwiches in Teaneck. Now available in Teaneck, kosher 100%. This is an unbelievable story that no Litvak will believe. That's what they say, but it happened. How they found the Baruch Be'er Leibovich's grave following World War II. Very, very fascinating. Sports of the Times, the Astro scandal, what they were doing to cheat in the game, and and two articles, New York Times, on it, and pass that to Michael. I have someone interested in baseball here.
The Red Sox manager over there.
Unbelievable. And Jewish Week,
the Mets manager was fired for another reason.
Luxury along with the Heksha. It is unbelievable where Jews can now go all over the world, look at that picture, and have glatt kosher food. And if anyone wants the latest issue of the Economist, which fascinating London, their view of the world, money, and Baruch Hashem, Israel alive and kicking. Until we meet again in health and happiness, I want to mention our guest here, Rabbi Hertz. And Kanaim Hara, it's good to see everybody, and Ariane, and wow. And we're just missing Scotty, and tomorrow, as they say, is another day. Until we meet again in health and happiness, Isaac, I wouldn't miss tomorrow for all the seltzer available in Russia. And believe me, this is da asach, was man kem dotten, das means a yidn ham nugge ham seltzer. Not seltzer, but seltzer. Till we meet again in health and happiness, das vidanya. Jonathan, you got to admit that, don't tell my student Rabbi Berman how happy I am to be teacher, they'll have me paying them instead of the opposite. We still need a little income. Yeah.
Here to my question to you, mentioning about your take on the
Yeah.
I mean, that had a tremendous impact on me.